project was mostly focused on creating some tools for assessing and managing human impact on Maine's harbors. So a quick outline for the presentation. This can be a short intro. Then I'm going to talk about the project goals for the summer. This project started in June, and it's concluding next week. The methods I used and the software and data that I used to find these conclusions. The findings and the results for West Penobscot Bay and its towns. The conclusions and some recommendations for further research and what to do with this data. So I'm a Summer of Maps fellow for Azavia. They're a software company and data analytics company in Philadelphia, focusing in civic software and data analytics, mostly for civic purposes. And they do pro bono programs such as this, which matches up nonprofits with some fellows. And I'm on the data analytics team here, which we focus on identifying hidden patterns within the data, using that to prioritize and plan operations, streamlining the decision-making process, and visually communicating these plans to others, in this case, through maps.
Is it okay to ask questions during the presentation?
Please hold all questions till the end. I'm going to leave some time at the end for discussion. We can always go back, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions. So a little bit about me. I'm just graduated from Temple University. I study geography and urban studies. I'm an avid cartographer. I love maps of all kinds, new maps, old maps, love making maps. That's why I applied for this program. And I'm a nature lover. Even though I'm from a major city, I grew up in the suburbs and love spending time in nature and wildlife. So I'm really interested in this project. The program that I'm part of is called Summer of Maps, and it's $5,000 for the summer. It matches up nonprofit organizations with some data analysis, and it's really cool because we get to be mentored by the Azavia staff directly and get some nice experience in the industry, so we can take something with us. So my clients for this project were friends of Penobscot Bay, and in collaboration with Public Labs, Public Laboratory for Open Technology. They're the ones who applied for the grant for this for Penobscot Bay, correct? And they really focused on doing a lot of really local, sort of do-it-yourself environmental research. They have like a lot of real low-cost technology that you can go out and monitor your local environment on your own and put it all online and so that other people can use it and share it and come up with new technologies. So the project goals for this project were threefold. Ron and I met earlier this summer to discuss them, and the ones we decide on are first, analysis of the forest cover along the bay and how it's changed. Everyone knows that this is a pretty big issue and everyone's talking about it. Going along with this is analysis of urban growth and the development, human development, and change in impervious surfaces throughout the bay and other things. We got talking about this because the whole sewer line extension and how that would affect things and possible gas line extensions and sort of how that would affect the new growth. And while I didn't have the exact date of where that would be, there's other ways I could figure that out and calculate how are these towns growing and in what directions and how densely. And the third, the impact on bay wildlife. Mostly things that people harvest around here, such as clams, mussels, scallops, as well as some birds, shorebirds, and how the outcomes of the first two goals affected the wildlife. So now I'm going to talk about, how did I how did I perform this project? So it was mostly software-based, and I use this program called ArcGIS, which stands for Geographic Information System. That's what GIS is. So I didn't use like Google Earth or anything. This is a bit different. It's very powerful software, and you can use it to calculate large areas of land and how they change. And it's very useful. So as we all know, Penobscot Bay is an enormous area. I mean, if you include the whole bay, it's absolutely huge. So for the purpose of the study, and because I only had a few months to do it, I did focus mainly on the West Bay, and it also seemed to be of the most concern. So from Stockton Harbor in the north, and all the towns down the coast to Thomaston?
Is that your South Thomaston?
Yeah, to South Thomaston in the south. The data for this came from the main office of Geographic Information Systems, the NLCD, which is National Land Cover Dataset, which I'll get to in a minute, and Friends of Penobscot Bay. Ron provided me with a huge plethora of information, which is pretty useful. So, and when I'm all done with this, be able to package this up and give it back and be able to use this for future research. So what is this, the National Land Cover Dataset? What is it? Well, it's a comprehensive land cover dataset for the entire United States, including Alaska and Hawaii. And it uses satellite technology to pick up different bands of light and different land covers for the entire country. And it's really cool. It's a fun dataset to work with. Advantages of using this over something like Google Earth, because if you've ever been on Google Earth, you can, it does have something like historic imagery where you can see images from the past. And those are cool to look at, but it's not exactly useful in being able to say definitively, this is how much forest lost, or this is how much land became developed. So I use this, and it's nice because it comes in a set of classifications of categories, basically, for different types of earth, different types of land. And it's available for everywhere in the United States. So any place you want to see what type of land cover it is, it's there. So these are the main seven categories that I looked at, and they all kind of break down into subcategories. First is water. This is water and perennial ice cover. Then there's developed land, which is broken down to low, medium, and high-intensity residential, and then also commercial, industrial, transportation use. And then there's barren land, which is mostly quarries, rocks, sand. Sometimes beaches get picked up on those. Forests is broken down into deciduous, evergreen, and mixed forests. And then grasslands, pretty much just grassland. Agriculture is things like pastures, hay, orchards, vineyards, cultivated crops. And wetlands are like woody wetlands and emergent wetlands. So, I mean, even from this, you guys can sort of see the water, developed land, you know, things like that's New York, it's pretty obvious, it's very red. You can really see barren land. Forest cover, it's all the green. Grassland, you can sort of see this yellow in the Midwest. Lots of agriculture also in the Midwest, is that brown. So it's pretty cool, and you can zoom in, you know, pretty much anywhere you want. And so that's what I use. So this is one of the maps I made using this data set. It's mostly just a reference map, and it's pretty big. I hope to have it printed out. It's a big 4-foot by 3-foot map. And this is sort of just give you a sense of what some of these places look like up close with this data set. Here's Rockland here. This is with the streets on top of it. But yeah, this is it. This is just Rockland raw. So you can see all the red, pretty much all the shades of red and pink are developed land. And you can see downtown and the seaweed processing plant sticking out there, and all of downtown very developed. And then it gets a little less developed up here. It's low intensity, but still very developed, and it really explodes. So this is from 2011. They create these data sets about every 5 years. It takes a long time because they have to ton of different satellite images, and they have to sort of account for cloud coverage in different times of year. So the two data sets that I used were from 2011 and 1992. So basically I'm comparing the past 20 years about and how the land cover has changed over that time. Also be providing these maps afterwards if you'd like to look at it more.